Hello, and welcome to another interview in the series Coffee with Craig, interviews with interesting people. I've known Lucy for a few years, but because she doesn't often work in the same building as me, I don't know too much about her. I know she comes from Crystal Palace and that she loves football. Anyway, it's always fun to talk to a fellow Londoner. Here's my interview with Lucy. You can see the edited video version of this interview on our Manson Inglés YouTube channel. But here's the full unedited audio interview. So how long have I known you? When did you start? You've never worked in the main centre, have you?
I have.
But we haven't coincided. You've never worked Saturday morning.
Never worked Saturday. I've always been Saturday. I've had Saturdays here.
So when did you first start there then?
I started there nearly 8 years ago.
Really?
I think so.
Was this your first job in Spain? Had you just come here or were you working somewhere before?
I was working somewhere before and then I came to the British Council.
Where did you work?
I was working for a colleague, Dee.
Oh, okay, in her school.
So, yeah.
Right.
It was very good indeed.
I wasn't sure because I was thinking of the questions and I wasn't sure if you've taught children before, adults.
Oh, yeah. No, I have. I've done quite a few adult classes.
And do you do any at the moment?
Not at the moment, no. I'm here, the German school.
And if you had to choose, would you prefer to teach children or adults?
Children.
Why?
So many more. Actually, I have to confess, it's been about 2 years since I last taught any adults. And I kind of got back into the rhythm of the children again now. And they're such good fun. And I like the way it can just be so spontaneous and you can get up and have a little dance and play some games.
It seems completely different. I have taught children. I didn't enjoy it at all. And I've kept away from it ever since because I don't lack that discipline. They look at me and they know immediately I'm a soft touch.
Oh, Craig, see, this is it. You've got to perfect.
What's the secret? Do you have to be a policeman or a policewoman?
No, do you know what it is? It's a really funny thing because I found I've just got stricter every single year. Every year I've got it down. I'm getting it down to a fine art. I haven't got there yet. I've still got a long way to go. But every year,
Do you start off the year with new students really strict and then gradually loosen off?
There is this thing that they say, don't smile on the first day.
Do you do that?
No, but I do tend to. Right, these are the rules. Okay, homework. You will do your homework. There is no question.
You lay down the law from the first lesson.
From day one. Yeah, that's the way to go.
So, have you ever worked, since working here at the British Council, have you ever worked in other places than in private lessons or worked for another school while you're working at the council?
Yeah. I was working along in another academy for quite a while alongside these classes here.
Okay.
But not anymore.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from South London, Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace.
Yes.
That's right, because we spoke about football and I remembered you're a Crystal Palace fan.
I am indeed, and we're going to Wembley in a week's time.
Eventually. Did you used to see them when you were living in the UK?
Yeah, and in fact, I worked at the ground for a while as well when I was a student.
What did you do?
I sold burgers.
Every Saturday, every home game.
Every home game. And in fact, it was when they were sharing a ground with Wimbledon. So I used to see all that. Palace weren't actually in the Premier League, or Premiership at the time, and Wimbledon were. So, Man U, Chelsea, everybody. It was great. It's really
was
good
that
fun.
A full-time job?
No, it was only a home games. I was a student, so I just needed the cash. So when I was home from uni.
Right. And why did you decide to come to live in Spain?
Well, I was working for the civil service in Westminster. Mm-hmm. And one day it just dawned on me on the train home, I can't do this every day for the rest of my life.
Do you remember how old you were when you made that decision?
I was literally fresh out of uni, so I'd only been working in London for 2 years, so I was 23.
What did you do? Because I worked for the civil service also, and I had the same feeling. I worked for supplementary benefits with the HSS in my area in Ilford. What did you do?
I was working in Whitehall.
for the Secret Service.
Yeah, if only. All of the government offices along there, they're all... It's not half as much fun as you think.
So it's a clerical job?
It was. I was a personal assistant to one of the directors of one of the Department of Trade and Industry.
So. That sounds okay, actually.
No, I mean, it was good. It was very interesting, very challenging as well, but I just...
How long did you do it for?
I was in that office before I was in the Cabinet office, and I had a view from my office window of the back garden of Downing Street, which was quite cool. And so I did that for about 6 months, and then I moved departments to Department of Trade and Industry, so only about a year and a half, but that was enough.
And was the job, how would you describe the job?
Tough at times. I mean, the thing is, when you work in the civil service, well, in Westminster anyway, it's very much seasonal, because when the MPs go on holiday and in recess, you do have nothing. I mean, literally nothing to do. So the whole of August is just, forget it. There's nothing. It's like Easter, Christmas. I mean, it's like being a teacher.
So you get paid for turning up?
Yeah, I mean, it was lovely. Very nice. Okay. So it was stressful at times, you know, when we had Prime Minister's questions, we had to get everything prepared. And that was quite stressful, to get them out in time. And then you realise he didn't even get asked the question. No, I prepared all of this.
So you decided to leave that job working for the civil service. And why was the decision to come? How did it happen that you came to decide?
Valencia.
In Spain, Valencia?
Valencia because I've got some friends here I met when I was a student, and I came to visit them a few times. So I was like, I've got a couple of friends there now. Why don't I go there?
So did you, when you first came here, was it just an extended holiday, or did you make a decision to leave?
No, I made a decision to leave the UK and then come here for who knows how long. And then 8 years, well, 9 years later, I'm still here.
What do you dislike about living here?
I could reel off a few things.
Okay.
No, but I mean, the main things are, I mean, I miss my family and lots of friends back in England, massively. And not being able to go and see Palace play.
Football?
Of course!
So your family are still in the UK?
Yes, everyone's still in Crystal
Palace. Do you get to see
them
often?
Yes, I have to go back to England at least every 4 months, otherwise I feel lost.
Do they not come here?
Yeah, they're coming here, and they're coming here for a month in July. Mm-hmm. So,
wonderful.
It should be good fun, I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
Lucy, what's the best thing about being a teacher?
I think it's being with people. It's really nice to meet new people. You can meet some really interesting people. Even the kids, I mean, kids can be fantastic. And they're so different as well. And such a variety in one class, such a variety of personalities and characters. Really good fun.
What ages do you teach?
At the moment, I've only got 6-year-olds and a group of 13-year-olds. So, interesting.
And what's the worst thing about being a teacher?
Because I teach kids, sometimes there is the aspect of having to...
be strict.
Be really strict, and then if you don't get the desired results, it's not...
That's what I disliked about it when I tried it for 6 months. How big are the classes?
I've got really small classes this year. I mean, for example, my class this morning, there's 9 of them in there.
That's a good size.
And it's fantastic. So as a bilingual children, they're 6 years old, but lots of them are bilingual, so it's lovely. It's just...
Mm. And they're generally nice kids, aren't
they? Oh, really nice. Really, really nice. Yeah. I mean, we do have to do hands on heads to get some quiet. I have to teach you these classroom management things.
I don't think it would work for adults.
Oh, you never know.
What's been your most memorable moment in the classroom? The question used to be, what's been your most embarrassing moment in the classroom? And then I changed it.
Yeah, because...
Memorable is probably...
The thing is, I started to think about, you know, these times when you go bright red, because I remember teaching this adult class, a really good-looking guy, and he asked me what a word meant, and it was just literally, what?
Because of the word?
Yeah, word? And he obviously had an inkling what it meant as well.
The word?
Fisted. And of course, I went purple. I was so embarrassed. And I think he knew. Lucy, what's this word, fisted? And there was no one else. And there was
it from a text?
I have no idea where it came from.
I used to get embarrassed when I had a very good-looking girl in the class and there was this light flirting going on.
Oh, I love that. That's so much... That's what I really miss about teaching adults.
It makes me embarrassed. But probably the most embarrassing thing that happened to me was when I worked at Berlitz and I had an advanced class and I took the wrong book in with me. I took a beginner's book in with me. And you have to teach it rote. You have to say the text and repeat it.
Oh, God.
So I started the class. It was a new class. I said, this is a pen. Listen, this is a pen. What is it? And one student sitting at the back of the class said, looks like a pen to me.
Oh, God.
Spoke perfect English. And I closed the book and I said, I'll be right back. And I had to go out and get the advanced book.
Actually, I've got some really... Because I teach the six-year-olds, they come up with some classic lines. They're really funny.
Do you remember any?
Well, one of the really... this happens quite often. Every other year or so, I get this. They can't quite decide that I'm English, but I'm here. So they decide... So amongst themselves, I mean, you know, I won't confirm, you know, or deny their suspicions at all. So she must come on the plane every day.
From England?
Yeah.
So they think you travel from England to teach them every day and then go home again after the lesson.
Because I'm English.
That's logical.
So why
are you in Spain? And they said that to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're, you know, that's the kind of thing. It's so enjoyable sometimes about teaching small ones because they've got some great lines. They're so good.
What would you... cut that out. What advice would you give Spanish speakers who are trying to learn English?
Little and often.
Sorry?
Little and often.
Can you expand on that?
Okay, so they'll come to class every week and they expect, okay, go home and do a bit of homework and that's it. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes every day, just have a quick look at something. Whether it's your verbs, whether it's whatever. A little reading, a little 10 minutes. Everyone's got 10 minutes every day that they could just spend... When you eat your breakfast, I don't know, whatever.
That to me hints at a conflict of having to learn the language from obligation rather than being generally interested in it and constantly looking up things in English or doing something in English because you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
In terms of I have to do my hours homework, I have to do my study, and it becomes an obligation rather than a pleasure.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that... I mean, that's one of the things I always... I speak to the parents about them and saying, you know, okay, even if you sit down on the internet with them and you play one game in English, fantastic. You know, it's just to get them thinking about something in English once a day and it really motivates them. Oh, but I want to know what that word means!
I've got a friend whose son is 10, I think, or 11, and he's really into cars. He loves Top Gear, but he watches Top Gear... in Spanish.
Yeah,
so
it's
I said
TV,
to his mother,
yeah.
Sit down with him, change it into English because you can now on the television.
Yeah.
And it's about cars and just let him get used to hearing the words in English and just watching the pictures. And with time, he'll assimilate the language.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's a great... I quite like that program, Top Gear. I don't like Jeremy Clarkson, but I like Top Gear.
It's fun. It's very good. What do you do with your time when you're not teaching? Do you have any hobbies?
At the moment, I've been going to lots of Pilates because I've been spending lots of time with the computer. So Pilates has been really helping me in terms of relaxing afterwards.
Is that something you do every day, every morning? Do you have a routine?
Twice a week.
Twice a week?
Yeah. And then try to do a little bit at home every so often as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you have kids? You don't have kids.
No.
So you must have more free time.
Yes.
What do you do?
Sleep. I think that's what people without kids do, isn't it?
How many hours do you have? How many contact hours do you have a week?
With, 7.
Right, but you're probably here a lot more.
I'm doing lots of other duties as well at the moment.
What sort of duties?
Chasing up teachers for various things.
We'll cut that out.
Okay. Clearing up the table after the teachers.
Oh, right, because you're managing it here Saturday morning.
Yeah, so. Well, and during the week as well.
And during the week.
So speaking to parents is a big thing as well.
So apart from Pilates...
Pilates, a bit of running.
You go running?
Oh, yes, I like a bit of, you know, go for... Listening to the radio as I run as well.
What sort of things do you listen to?
Desert Island Discs.
The BBC?
Yeah.
Are you a big podcast fan?
I do. Thing is, I started off running with music, and then I realised that it didn't do it for me. So now I've changed to Desert Island Disc, and it's fantastic. So I have some fantastic guests on there, and I really like Kirsty Young. She's really good.
And she's hosted Have I Got News For You a couple of times.
Yeah, very good.
Scottish accent.
Yeah.
And apart from BBC podcasts, are there any others that you could recommend for Spanish listeners who have an advanced level?
I'm trying to think what else I listen to. I mainly listen to BBC programmes, actually. I mean, Radio 4. Mm-hmm. So they have loads. Women's Hour.
The Women's Hour.
Sometimes. Sometimes. You know. Come on.
Okay. Lucy, what makes you happy?
Oh, lots of things. Being with people who I like to be around. Nice sunny day. Some nice food. Preferably a nice glass of wine.
And what makes you sad?
Oh, negative people. I can't stand negative people. And rain.
Which is why you live in Spain.
Exactly.
Which famous person, dead or alive, would you like to meet and have dinner with?
Could I have two?
Yes, there will be a dinner party.
Okay. I had to think about this, okay, because... Again, this is going back to my Desert Island Discs thing. It's a few months ago now. Dustin Hoffman was on there, and he was absolutely...
Is he still alive?
What do you mean? He was fantastic, really interesting, funny. So I'd quite like to have a chat with him, and because he's a fellow South Londoner, and also would be quite interesting, David Bowie.
David Bowie, that would be one of my choices. He would be one of my choices. What would you ask him?
Oh, God, where would you start? I mean... I'd ask him to sing a song.
What's your favourite Bowie song?
It's got to be between...
It's got to be his Aladdin Sane period.
It's got to be... Well, for me, it's Let's Dance or Gene Genie.
Okay. I'd probably go for Space Oddity.
Would you? Oh, there's a top song. Life on Mars, that's
Life
a top song.
Life on Mars.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and he's a South Londoner as well. I forgot to add that before, in case
Where
I didn't
he
get
born?
That. He was born in Brixham, but he grew up in Bromley, which is just down the road.
Okay.
So, and I saw a documentary on him quite recently, and he's a real... Well, obviously, when he was... I think this is the 70s, actually, when it was recorded, and he had a real South London accent, although he obviously doesn't have that anymore.
In an ideal world, what would your life be like?
Calm... And, okay, am I thinking of...
Would you choose, for example, would you still choose to live here or would you make your life somewhere else?
I think my life is pretty ideal. I mean, obviously it's not perfect, but I'm perfectly content with where I am and what I am doing
that's,
at the moment.
That's good to hear. So if you could plan your ideal day, what would it be like?
Okay, it would involve some element of competition... So, I don't know, whether it would be a card game or...
Are you a competitive person?
Oh, my God, I'm terrible, yeah. Maybe some sport, or some sport involved, like a tennis match. Or even watch it. I mean, it's terrible being English because it's not fun watching England play, as you know.
Watching them play anything.
Exactly. So, I'd rather not watch, I'd rather compete.
Have you ever run a marathon?
No, never. I don't run far enough to...
It's not something you consider?
I'd consider running a half marathon, yeah. And it's something every year I say to myself, OK, I really must start training for this, to do the Valencia half marathon. I've got lots of friends who run it, but I've just haven't got around to it yet.
OK, so you're doing something competitive and then
Oh,
what?
Sorry, this is my...
Your ideal day.
Oh, my ideal day. And then nice lunch with some fantastic friends, preferably my family, preferably my mum and dad. And obviously my boyfriend, he'd have to come. And somewhere nice as well, I don't know, on the beach or someone's house. And it would be summer, so you have a quick swim, nice food, nice bottle of wine, siesta, because it's...
Of course.
And then out in the evening again.
To where?
Oh, this is my ideal day. Mm. Oh, then I think I'd have to go out with my... My friends from school, from London. Bit of a girly night out.
Where would you go?
Ooh, we would have dinner in someone's house and then turn up the music and have a bit of a boogie.
If you had 6,000 euros to spend on yourself, what would you buy?
Right, okay. I would buy an iPad. And
you'd have some change.
Yeah, I would. I would buy lots of new books. I don't want to put them on my iPad, though, and I don't want a Kindle. I want some new books because I love reading as well. So lots of new books, and I've still got some change, haven't I? I've mm-hmm. still got some money.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You could probably buy 8 or 9 iPads if you wanted to.
Oh, no, I don't want as many as that. Oh, I think I'd have to buy myself a holiday.
And where would you go?
I'd quite fancy a trip to Australia, although $6,000 probably get me the flight and not that much more, really. Well, a flight in a nice little hotel somewhere nice. And, yep, visit some friends and family I've got there. So, mm-hmm. that'd be nice.
I'm curious, why would you prefer to have the hardback books and paper books and not read them on a device?
There's something about having a paper book. I can't, I resist, I can't do it. I'm not doing the Kindle. I can't do it yet.
Okay.
Can't do it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed that interview and thank you very much for listening. Please remember to write a review on iTunes for us so that more people can find our podcasts. And you can comment on this interview and on the YouTube video on our Facebook page at facebook.com/mansionengles or tweet me on Twitter at @mansiontwit. Bye for now.